Shalom, 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 brethren, and Chag Purim Sameach. A very happy Purim Day festival. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The festival of Purim, for those who don't know, is based on the book of Esther, in particular chapter 10. Hallelujah. So today is Tuesday the 7th of March 2023 on the Roman Gregorian calendar as per Daniel 7:25, and then as per Leviticus 23, Exodus 12:1-2, Genesis 1, today, and the book of Jubilees, today is the 14th of Adar on the Hebrew calendar, also known as the biblical calendar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm outside today. It's a very beautiful sunny day. The sun is out in Scotland. The only problem is it's freezing cold. The snow has fallen today. It's not very heavy snow, but it's visible on the ground, and it's not something that can just melt within a few minutes. It's about 9:37 a.m. in Scotland, UK, and the Jews here are all dressed up in their costumes, their Purim costumes. So one of the traditions of this day is to dress up in a beautiful costume and a mask. And what we recommend in this ministry, Yahushua HaMashiach, the Chief Cornerstone Ministry, is that you wear something godly, something appropriate. If you don't wear a costume, you wear white from head to toe. But if you're wearing a costume, try to make sure that it relates to the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, the holy biblical scriptures. Hallelujah. So you can dress up as Esther, dress up as Mordecai. You can dress up as King Ahasuerus if you wish. There's various options. Some people dress up as Torah. Some people dress up as a high priest. I don't think anybody wants to dress up as Haman because he's the villain of the story. You know, he's the Amalekite of whom we have victory over, and we are celebrating, you know, we are celebrating triumphing over him today. Hallelujah. That's a helicopter in the air, and a bus is about to pass me by. Just so you know what's going on around me, I just thought I should record while outside for a change, because I have quite a long day today. I'm supposed to be at home reading the book of Esther, but I need to stop by somewhere for about 2 hours, and I may not be able to record this later because I'll have the baby with me. So I'm just quickly recording this to share and to wish everybody a very Chag Purim Sameach, a very happy Purim festival, you know, and I pray that the Lord Yahweh will continue to give you victory over the spirit and the power of the Amalekites, you know, the evil spirit of Esau that is constantly warring against us in this evil world. In the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. So, today is the day to read the book of Esther. I know that we read the book, I mean some of us, maybe not all, read the book of Esther overnight, because it's tradition that when the sun sets on Adar, well, the full moon is in, so Adar 14, when the sun sets the day before, because every day begins at sunset, so we're supposed to, you know, hold a service, a prayer service or worship service the minute the sun sets, and we're meant to take time to read the book of Esther. In the Hebrew language, we call it the Megillah Esther, so the scroll of Esther. And the people, the Orthodox Jews, tend to read it in the Hebrew language. But, you know, most Messianic Jews tend to read it in English. Some take time to read it in Hebrew as well. It's much quicker to get through it when you read it in the Hebrew language than it is when you read it in the English, because in Hebrew things are summarized, you know. It's written differently. So, yeah, it's a very, very special day. It's a day to also share gifts with people, you know, give to the poor. Most of Yahweh's festivals have the theme of Zedaka, which is to do with righteousness, righteous giving. So we help people in need, but we also share things with friends, you know, give gifts to friends the way we would during Hanukkah. And it's quite interesting that there's an emphasis on this. Because even during Hanukkah as well, over the years, the Feast of Dedication, it has become customary to give gifts to other people. Now, the Festival of Purim is a season of joy. It's a season of Yahweh turning our sorrow into joy. Hallelujah. And that's why we also read Psalm 30. And that's why I sang the songs that I sang last night about "You have turned my sorrow into joy," which is sung by Hillsong. And another one that says, "I'm treading my sorrows, I'm treading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm treading my sickness, I'm treading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen." So, it's a very joyous season for us. Hallelujah. I have a lot to share from the book of Esther. But because I'm all up and down, I'm on the road, it's not easy at the moment to flip the scriptures and point out things that I personally feel are very outstanding. But one of the things I will say that is really interesting about the book of Esther is that we see feasts here and feasts there. Feasting here, feasting there, feasting here, feasting there. The book starts off with feasting. You see the Ahasuerus or Ahasuerus showing off, you know, his treasury. As, you know, the details are given in the book, in the Legends of the Jews, about that first feast and why it was done the way it was. But, you know, if you don't dig into the details as to why it was done and all that, and you just read the surface a little bit, you can see symbolisms that, you know, relate to the marriage feast of the Lamb that we are all looking forward to attending as the body of Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ. You know, this is recorded in Matthew 22. It's also recorded in Matthew 22, 1 to 14, Matthew 25, 1 to 13, and Revelation 19. So you see the symbolisms of the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach. You see the satanic bride, which is Vashti. Though Vashti has layers of symbolisms, once again, she could also represent the wild olive tree that is mentioned in Romans 11. You know, there's the cultivated tree and the cultivated olive tree and the wild olive tree. The cultivated olive tree is the one in which Yahushua is grafting his people in, grafting the Gentiles, it's got the Israelites who are already righteous before the Lord, and then you've got the Israelites who are yet to accept Yahushua HaMashiach, and then you've got the Gentiles being grafted into the cultivated olive tree. So the wild olive tree is made up of the Israelites who haven't yet made up their mind to accept Yahushua Mashiach, but eventually they will, or they may not. Anyway, let's just leave it at that. I hope you get the message here. So the bride of Yahushua, as we have shared repeatedly, they are Israel. They could be adopted Israel, adopted Jews or Hebrews, and they could be biological Hebrews. Either way, they are Hebrews and they will be raptured to the heavens. They are the ones that will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, as well as the dead, well, as well as the dead in Yahushua HaMashiach. The guests, some may attend, whereas others will stay on the earth and stay and be part of, you know, basically live through the great, dreadful and terrible day of the Lord, which is part of the great tribulation or time of Jacob's sorrow, time of Jacob's trouble. So there are various symbolisms within the book of Esther. There's so much to learn. It's not a book to take for granted. Mordechai has the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, or Ruach HaKodesh, the one who keeps looking out for Esther and guides her to make sure that she stays on the right path. Okay, I'm gonna have to stop here for now. I'll continue later. Let me continue for a bit just now. I'm going to share some information about the days on which we celebrate Purim and why. I may repeat it later, but I'll just say something right now. So this is how we should memorize things. This is the best way to understand it, I'll say. Okay, so on Adar 13, many years ago, during the reign of the Medo-Persian Empire, Haman chose to cast lots, you know, to determine which day the Jews should be killed. And his job, his, you know, thinking was that the Jews are like the scum of the earth, or they're like a weed, you know, the same way in which black people are perceived today by many people who are racist. Obviously inspired by the devil, because the devil knows the power of the black people, the Alkibulans, not Africans, Alkibulans. African is a curse word. It's a word that was introduced by the Romans to curse the black people. So every time the black people call themselves Africans, they unknowingly curse themselves. So it's important for us to learn the original name of the continent, which is Alkibulan. And what we have learned as well over time is that the continent called Asia today is also called Alkibulan. So what we call Africa and Asia today are called Alkibulan. Alkibulan, Alkibulan. 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 Alkibulan, it means mother of mankind. It also means a garden of Eden. Hallelujah. So you can see that there's a power behind that word, and behind the black people are very powerful people. It doesn't mean that other races are not, but that's just how the Lord determined things, keeping in mind that pigmentation was not an issue. Skin pigmentation was not an issue in the beginning. All right, that was just a side note. So Haman chose Adar 13, the 12th month of the year, the 13th day of that month, keeping in mind that the 13th day represents rebellion spiritually. He chose the 13th day to cast lots, and then he determined that the following year, in the very month of Adar, on the 13th day, the Jews would be killed. And guess what, brethren, in Yahushua HaMashiach, if the Jews had been annihilated, the entire world would come to an end at that very point in time. It says in the legends of the Jews that when he was casting lots, against the Jews, he was he was also simultaneously casting lots against the Gentiles. So on Adar 13, he cast lots for the following year. And then Esther found out in the month of Nisan or Aviv or Abib that that was going to happen, which was, you know, the month of Nisan is the first month of the year, so it's the month after Adar. And so she's declared a fast. Okay, I need to stop here for now because my bus is here. All right, I'll continue later. Shalom, brethren. Let me try to complete this audio because it's getting late now. It's 10:44 a.m. here in Scotland, UK. And I'm, yeah, Sister Perpetua Shulamit here continuing the audio on Esther. So, as I was saying earlier, Haman cast the lots on Adar 13, which is the 12th month of the year, as per Exodus 12, 1 to 2. And then the following month, the very first month of the year, Nisan or Aviv or Abib, on the 13th day, or maybe it was that very day, that Esther Hadassah declared the three-day fast, marathon fasting and prayer, to pray for favor, so she could have favor before the king, Ahasuerus, so that she could intervene or intercede or intercept Haman's plans, you know, to annihilate the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, who were scattered among the provinces, the 127 provinces of the Medo-Persian Empire. So the fast began on the 13th day of Nisan and finished on the 16th day of Nisan. That's 3 days. And we can clearly see that part of the fast occurred during the days that we commemorate or celebrate Pesach, Passover, the death and resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach, and also the deliverance of the children of Israel from Mizraim, also known as Egypt. So it's quite interesting that, you know, things ended up playing out the way they did, you know. The deliverance occurred during the month of deliverance, the month of Judah, Yahuda, the month of the lion roaring, hallelujah, the lion of the tribe of Yahuda. So it's perfect. And it also makes more sense, you know, when you put things into perspective that way. This is why we need to learn to read and study this holy biblical scriptures with and from a Hebrew perspective. It's the only way we can get to understand the mind of the God who created us, you know, who created everything in this world. Hallelujah. So Esther did the fast and then invited Ahasuerus and Haman to the special feast that she had prepared, you know, which is quite interesting. So they both attended the feast, and while they were doing it, she did not eat. She, by the way, she did the fast when she was pregnant. She was heavily pregnant. She was looking forward to becoming a mother. Or maybe she wasn't heavily pregnant. I don't know whether she was heavily pregnant or not, but she was pregnant because it says in the legend of the Jews that she was looking forward to becoming a mother. And Esther was in her 70s or already 80, because she entered the palace when she was around 75. And then Oh, I need to stop here again. Sorry, another bus has come. I need to catch another bus. So most likely this happened when she was close to the age of 80, or it happened when it was 80. All right, shalom, brethren. We'll continue later. Okay, shalom, brethren. I'm back. I need to quickly round up this audio. So, a point of correction. Mordecai found out about Haman's plan on Nisan 13. So, Haman cast the lots on Adar 13. Then 30 days later, Haman wrote the decree, having spoken to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus deliberated over it with his officers. Then they agreed. A letter was written and stamped with the king's signet ring, and it was published on the 13th of Nisan, which is 30 days later. Now, when unless it was coined into reality, it wasn't yet real. So yes, the cloths were cast in Adar 13, but the reality set in Nisan 13. So when Mordecai found out, he went ahead to stand at the gates and get attention from Esther, and Esther sent somebody whom in the legends of the Jews is said to be Daniel, Prophet Daniel, to notify, you know, to find out why Mordecai is sitting there and is wearing sackcloth and has ashes upon him. And well, she found out what the issue was. So on that very day, the 13th of Nisan, Esther declared the fast, and the fast was to take place from 14th to 16th of Nisan, or Abib or Aviv. Now when that happened, so day one of the fast is 14, and Mordecai had to quickly send a message to the entire Jewish community throughout the 127 provinces of the Medo-Persian Empire. So it was hard work to get the message across, but it happened, and the Jews, you know, did fast because they were going through a time of judgment, a time of accusation, a time whereby their lives were at the point of death, and they had 1 year. You know, they had that's the time they had to change things, to turn things around. So they all fasted and they supported Esther in the spirit. Now, what happened is during the fast, that is when Esther went to see the king. She didn't go after the 3 days fasting. She went during the fast. So she fasted the very first day, 14th Nisan, and then 15th Nisan, she appeared to before King Ahasuerus, also known as Ahasuerus, and then she asked him to attend a banquet. And now it makes sense now, because I read this last year, but I didn't understand why Esther did not eat. I was wondering, because it said she did not eat during that banquet. It's only the king and Haman who ate, so she was still fasting. So that was day 15, and then she didn't say anything. She asked them to attend another banquet, which happened on the 16th. Now, on the 16th day before the banquet happened, on the night of the 15th, or should I say the, you know, because after sunset a new day begins, should I say the 16th of Nisan, the king had a very disturbing night. You know, the Lord Yahweh kept, you know, making him fall off his bed and onto the ground. Yahweh, you know, God the Father sent Archangel Michael, I think, or Gabriel, to keep throwing him onto the floor and give him sleepless night concerning Mordecai, because it was time for Mordecai to be promoted. You know, it was time for him to be rewarded for the good he had done in the beginning of the Esther story, which was to save the king's life from death, as determined by Haman through the baker and the cupbearer, Bigtha and Teret. So in the editions of Esther, they have different names, you know, which are more Roman. I need to bring this audio to an end. Shalom.